Son die in their place, pay the price for their sins on the old cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace.
This is the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Guy. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Guy, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Now, the Back to Calvary program. If you would like a cassette of today's program, send a gift of $3 to help support this program, giving date and call letters of this radio station.
As I journey through life's lonesome valley, I have a friend that's always by my side.
He will go with me
all the way,
all the way.
He will lead me up the rugged mountain and across the desert wild and wide.
He will go with me
all the way,
anyway.
He will go with me, carry my sorrow.
Before we begin the message today, once again, I want to make a special offer concerning some cassette tapes. At this time, we want to offer the series entitled The Starling Savior. In this series, we deal with five different ways in which the Savior is starling. These five ways are as follows. Jesus Christ is startling in His virgin birth. He is startling in His virtuous life. He is startling in His vicarious suffering. He is startling in His victorious resurrection. And He will be startling in His visible return. This series consists of five parts and has been recorded on three cassette tapes. And at this time, we are offering this series for a gift of only $7. At this time, we are offering the series entitled The Starling Savior for a gift of only $7. And if you would like to obtain this series, simply write us at the address given at the end of the broadcast requesting the series entitled The Starling Savior. Today, once again, we're only going to be reading two verses of Scripture from the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. This being verses 10 and 11. And here in this passage, the Word of God says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Heavenly Father, as we have read Thy Word today and are prepared to bring this message, we realize that the devil and his hordes would like to stop this message from going forward. But I pray as the Word of God goes forth today that it will do so in power. And I pray that the Spirit of God will do that which needs to be done in the heart and life of every listener. Lord, we pray for that one that's never been saved by the grace of God. I pray that they'll be saved today. Then, Lord, we pray for those saints that are listening today that are discouraged. I pray that today they'll be encouraged and be strengthened in the inner man. So we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to bring the sixth part of the message entitled, "Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle?" But before that we proceed, there are some things that we need to say by way of review to bring us up to the place where we left off on the broadcast last week. Now, in the weeks prior to this, we have stated that in these various chapters in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul deals with the believer a little bit different. In Ephesians chapter number 1, we have the believer's wealth. In chapters 2 and 3, we have the believer's work. In chapters 4 and 5, we have the believer's walk. Then, in chapter number 6, we have the believer's warfare. And here, in chapter 6, in verses 10 through 20, we have two things mentioned in connection with the believer's warfare. First, we have the encounter in verses 10 through 13. Second, we have the equipment in verses 14 through 20. Now here, Paul, in closing this lofty epistle, condescends to a battlefield. And the reason he does this is because the believer's life is lived on a battlefield. The believer is a soldier in God Almighty's army. And my friend, this tells us that the believer is not meant to have a life of religious ease. The believer is called upon to fight the good fight of faith and to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So Paul here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now in the weeks prior to this, we have already dealt with verse number 10 and with the most part of verse number 11. And it was on the broadcast last week that we dealt with this word wiles that Paul uses here in verse number 11. And we stated that this is the translation of the Greek word methodeus. And this is where we get our word method. And this word wiles here in verse number 11 is a word which means tricks or methods or strategies in warfare. And Paul is telling us here in verse number 11 that the devil uses many wiles or tricks or methods or strategies against God's people in this warfare. And the believer should not be ignorant of this matter. Most certainly not. Now, on the broadcast last week, we dealt with some of the wiles of the devil. And today we are going to continue and deal further with some of his wiles or tricks. But before that I do, I want to state very briefly the wiles we dealt with on the broadcast last week. Number one, it is the wiles of the devil to get the believer to live in the past. Number one, it is a trick of the devil to get the believer to live in the past. Number two, it is a wiles of the devil to get the believer to live in the future. Number two, it is a trick of the devil to get the believer to live in the future. Now, we dealt with these two wiles on the broadcast last week. Therefore, at this time, we are going to go further and deal with another one of the devil's wiles. Number three, it is a wile of the devil to get the believer to live at a low ebb, spiritually speaking. Number three, it is a trick of the devil to get the believer to live at a low ebb, spiritually speaking. And of course, when I say a low ebb, spiritually speaking, this involves the matter of discouragement. It is a wild or trick of the devil to get you as a believer discouraged and dragging bottom. Most certainly it is. Now, my friend, every saint of God, every once in a great while, gets discouraged. Most certainly they do. Now, I might as well say this right now. I like to receive letters from those that listen to this broadcast. And if you haven't written, I would encourage you to do so at this time. But my friend, if you're saved by the grace of God, and you're going to write me and tell me that you never get discouraged, you might as well save your envelope and save your paper and save your stamps. My friend, every saint of God, every once in a great while, gets discouraged. Most certainly they do. Some of the greatest saints that's ever walked the face of this earth have gotten discouraged. Job was a man that got discouraged. Some of the greatest preachers that's ever walked the face of this earth have gotten discouraged. Elijah, the prophet of horror. Elijah was a man that got discouraged. And he got so discouraged that he asked God to die. He asked God to die. And you can read this in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah, the prophet of horror, got so discouraged that he asked God to die. And my friend, if you will study the Word of God and read the Word of God, you will find that there are only three saints of God in the pages of the Word of God that asked God to die. The first one was Moses, the second one was Elijah, and the third one was Jonah. So we find that Elijah asked God to die. But we find, my friend, that God did not grant his request. God Almighty did not grant his request because he had something better in store for him just a little ways down the road. And we find that God Almighty took Elijah out of this world in a whirlwind without experiencing physical death at all. And when you, as a Christian, get discouraged and you make some requests to God, the reason that he doesn't answer them in the positive many times is because he has got something better in store for you just a little way down the road. But we find, my friend, that it is a wild or trick of the devil to get the believer discouraged and dragging bottom. Now listen to me. I do not want you to misunderstand me. I'm not one of these happy-go-lucky preachers that preaches that you, as a Christian, can skip along through life from mountaintop to mountaintop. I don't preach that. My friend, living only on the mountaintop is not reality. Along with the mountaintops comes the valleys. But thank God, in the valley you will find the lily of the valley, which is none other than the Lord Jesus, the one that is fairer than 10,000 to my soul. Am I preaching to a Christian today that is discouraged? Am I preaching to a Christian today that is in the valley? My friend, if you're listening, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. And I want to point out to you something that is found in Matthew chapter number 17. Now here in Matthew chapter number 17, and in verse number 1, the Word of God says this. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then verse number 4 says this, and behold, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus. Now I want you to notice very carefully what Peter has to say. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Now, where was Peter? My friend, Peter was on top of a mountain. He was on the mountain top, and he was viewing the glory of God. He was seeing the glory of God manifested on top of the mountain. That's where Peter was. Now, notice the rest of the verse. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now listen, my friend, if God had allowed Peter to have carried out what he voiced here in verse number 4, it would have meant that Peter and these others stay on the mountaintop. But God did not allow this. This was not God's will. It was not God's will. And in verse number 9, the Word of God tells us that Peter and the other disciples came down from the mountaintop. But my friend, that's not all. I want you to notice what verse number 9 says. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, my friend, I want you to notice that carefully. Jesus charged them, saying. Now, I know you're saying, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. When Peter and James and John came down from the mountaintop into the valley below, Jesus Christ came down with them. Jesus Christ was on the mountaintop with them. Jesus Christ was in the valley below with them. And if you're saved by the grace of God, Jesus Christ is on the mountaintop with you. But Jesus Christ will also be in the valley with you. The Lord said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse number 5, He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. This is what the Lord said in Hebrews 13:5. And at this time, I'm going to ask each Christian that's listening to this broadcast to do something that I do not normally ask. If you are near a Bible, I want you to take it and turn to Hebrews 13:5. I want you to take it and turn the Word of God to Hebrews 13:5. And I want you to read this verse with me. And then I'm going to point out something to you that is very precious. Hebrews 13:5, the Word of God says this: Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now the words that I want to emphasize are, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now here, God says forwards, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now if it does not help you when God says it forwards, maybe it will when God says it backwards. Now notice here in verse 5, God says forwards, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. But notice carefully what God is saying backwards. Backwards, this statement says this: thee forsake, nor thee leave, never will I. Backwards, God says here in verse 5, thee forsake, nor thee leave, never will I. So if I hear the Lord says forwards and backwards, that he is always with the Son of God. And this should encourage greatly every believer that is listening to this broadcast today. Jesus Christ is on the mountaintop with you. Jesus Christ is in the valley with you. If you are one that's been saved, if you are one that's been saved by the grace of God, am I preaching to a Christian today that is weeping? Am I preaching to a Christian today that is in the valley and is discouraged? You might be listening today as a saint of God, and you may be weeping, and your heart may be bleeding. If so, I want you to listen carefully. In the Word of God, we read of willow trees. Also in the Word of God, we read of palm trees. Now, willow trees in the Word of God speak of weeping. Palm trees in the Word of God speak of victory. And my friend, the Christian life is filled with both. The Christian life is filled with willow trees and also palm trees. Or in other words, the Christian life is filled with both weeping and victory. But the thing that I want to point out right now is this. When we come to the last book of the Bible, which is the book of the Revelation, my friend, there are no willow trees mentioned in the book of the Revelation. No willow trees are mentioned in the book of the Revelation, but palms are. Palms are mentioned in the book of the Revelation. And this tells us, my friend, that there is coming a day that there'll be no more weeping, no more valleys, no more discouragement, no more sorrow, no more heartbreak, no more sadness for those that's been saved by the grace of God. That day is quickly approaching. Number one, it is a wild or trick of the devil to get the believer to live in the past. Number two, it is a wild or trick of the devil to get the believer to live in the future. Number three, it's a wild or trick of the devil to get the believer to live at a low ebb, spiritually speaking. Or in other words, it's a wild or trick of the devil to get the believer discouraged and dragging bottom. Now that's as far as we're going today with a message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? You listen to the broadcast next week, and if God allows, we will bring the seventh part of this message. But listen, my friend, in closing today, you may be listening to this broadcast today as a Christian, but maybe as a believer, you are living a life of doubt and discouragement. If so, my friend, it's not God's fault, but it's your own fault. The Lord has made it possible for every child of His to enjoy a victorious Christian life. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 37, the Word of God says, we, and that word we is referring to the saints of God, we are more than conquerors through Him. Now, Paul in this verse is not just talking about ordinary conquerors, but he says, we are more than conquerors through Him, or in other words, through Christ. But mark it carefully, my friend, we're not conquerors through our own strength or by our own ability, but it's through Jesus Christ. And if you, as a saint of God, will look to the Lord Jesus and rely on His strength, He will see to it that you enjoy a victorious life as a saint of God. As a believer, do not allow the devil to rob you of God's best for your life. If I'm speaking to you right now and you are a saint of God, but you know that you're not enjoying God's best, you know everything's not as it should be in your life. If so, my friend, I'd ask you to bow your head right now and look to the Lord Jesus and allow Him to do for you that which needs to be done. Do it right now. And then if you're listening to this broadcast today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you need to be saved before it's too late. Now I'd ask you to bow your head and from your heart exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon God and ask Him to save you. And He will. And you'll know it. Thank you.